Hello. Is that coming through? Testing. Okay. It's always a blessing to have Kay Rossman and Jane Pilch play the piano for us, especially after I butchered the piano. So, something you should know about today's scripture reading, this passage, unless you've read it before and know the story, won't make a whole lot of sense in the beginning, unless you know that at this time, the Egyptians are killing all of the Hebrew babies, the boys for the most part. And so it makes a lot of sense in understanding that when I read in Exodus chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, verses 1 through 10. Exodus 2, 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a piper's basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water."
You know, life is filled with risks. Some people choose to make life more risky than others. Call them extreme sports, adrenaline junkies, whatever. They take a lot of risks because, well, it's fun. If you go to developing countries, you might see things like this. And I saw some things like that in Mongolia. A guy repairing his pickup propped up by lumber. It just kind of makes you cringe a little bit, doesn't it? But people just take those risks as part of everyday life. And of course, there are people like firefighters and law enforcement, military and emergency personnel. For them, risk is just part of their jobs, and we rightly honor them for that. But if you believe everything you see on the internet, then even a backyard kiddie pool can be risky. That's a big if, though. But in all seriousness, when I began working on this message early in the week, I, of course, had no idea what would happen on Thursday in Roseburg, Oregon, where a disturbed 26-year-old man went to the local community college and gunned down 9 people, injured 9 others, before he was shot and killed by law enforcement. Reports from witnesses, just in case you haven't already heard, tell us that at one point he asked those in the room who were Christians, "Stand up." Several did, and he said, "Good, you're going to meet your God in about 1 second." And he shot them and killed them. And so the number of our brothers and sisters who have been martyred for the faith here in the United States of America has grown that many more. I'm sure when each of those got up that morning and had their devotions and said their prayers, they had no idea that their identity as followers of Jesus Christ would be the very thing that got them killed that day. This tragedy adds a whole new level of seriousness to the message today. But at many different levels, in many different ways, we are called to a faith that includes a huge element of risk. And so, to the outline there in your bulletin, point number one is this: following God means risk. Okay, following God means risk. I've heard it said multiple times that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Okay. And a relationship with God begins and ends with faith. And so if this little saying is true, then a relationship with God also ultimately, inevitably, means risk. Those of you familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia are probably aware of that great line when it was asked of Aslan, the lion, is he safe? And the answer was no, he's not safe, but he's good. And you know, the same could be true of this whole business of following God, of being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not safe. It's very risky, but it is good. And so if you want to seriously follow God, sooner or later, significant risk is going to be part of the picture. The scripture reading was about the birth of Moses, and what does that have to do with this? How does that fit in? You know, Moses is one of those giant figures of faith in the Old Testament. One of the most significant figures in the Old Testament. And Moses, and all the amazing things that God did through him and in his story, all these great stories of a great man, almost didn't happen if it weren't for the courage of his mother and a huge risk that she took. You know, we're not even really sure of her name, but she was an amazing woman. When she and her people were slaves in Egypt, Pharaoh felt threatened by the Hebrews' growing numbers, and so he commanded that every Hebrew boy should be thrown into the Nile River. And Moses' mother wouldn't have it. She gave birth to the child, and in blatant disregard for the law, she hid him for 3 months. And it became more and more difficult to do so, and so she came up with an ingenious plan, but it was a risky plan. She took a basket and made it waterproof so it would float. She put Moses into that basket, just an infant. And at just the right time, when Pharaoh's daughter went to the river to bathe, she was evidently upstream and sent Moses into the river in the basket toward her. Now, moms here today, seriously, put yourself in her shoes. How would you feel doing that? Would that make you a little nervous? How many things could go wrong? There are crocodiles in the Nile River, in case you didn't know. Pharaoh's daughter could have decided to have him killed as the law instructed. There are so many risks in this story, told so simply in Exodus 2. But Moses' mother took a chance. Well, it worked out very well for her and for her baby Moses. He got raised in the palace and educated and prepared to be the great leader that later he would be. But for others who follow God, it hasn't always turned out so well, at least by earthly standards, that is. And that's what makes the risk of obeying God and following the Lord very real. Again, those victims in the Oregon shooting, they took the risk of standing up when the gunman asked about their faith, and their earthly lives are over. One of them was only 18 years old. If you're going to follow God, you don't know exactly what might be asked of you. You might have to confront powerful people, and those powerful people might be persuaded by the power of God through you, or you might be beheaded. You might have to make some decision about doing what's right, and the result of doing right could bring financial ruin or any number of other problems. By simply bearing the name of Jesus Christ, many have been misunderstood, mocked, persecuted, killed, and it could happen to us. The book of Philippians is known as the epistle of joy and very positive. And in it, we're commanded to rejoice and to set our minds on positive things. And there's so much that's very upbeat about the book of Philippians. And yet, even in that letter, we find mention the element of risk in following God. There in Philippi, there was a believer named Epaphroditus. The church there knew that Paul was in prison. And prisons in those days didn't take care of your needs. They didn't provide cable TV for you, and they didn't feed you. I mean, somebody else's problem. And so the church there in Philippi, great distance away, many hundreds of miles, sent Epaphroditus to where Paul was imprisoned, most likely Rome, to see to it that Paul had food and clothing and basic needs. But something went wrong, and let me read it for you, let the text speak for itself. Paul writes, "I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who's also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me." He just took a journey to help a guy out. But it was a journey of several hundred miles, and somewhere along the way he got sick, deathly sick, nearly died. But he lived, and Paul called for him to be honored, again, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life. So again, the point of this, folks, is this. When God tells you to do something, you have no guarantee of how it will turn out. There are great risks involved. Sometimes that's more obvious than others, but it's always true. Following God means risk. Secondly, faith means that we'll take those risks, okay? Faith means we'll take those risks. When we're aware of the risks involved in obeying God, we have a very important choice. Will I take that risk and obey God, or will I play it safe and tell God no? That is a faith issue. We live out our faith when we take those risks, and we deny the Lord when we allow fear to cause us to refuse those risks. The Bible says some interesting things about risks. The writer of Ecclesiastes, in looking at the world we live in and just the inherent risks of life, says this, Ecclesiastes 10:8, "Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake." You know, I'm sure the guy who digs the pit didn't intend for it to be the pit he falls into. And the guy who is breaking through a wall was probably remodeling and not planning on getting bit by a snake. But he's saying, you know, risk is just a part of life. You know, things can go wrong no matter what you do. But what is our focus? What is our focus? That's an important question that will determine how we deal with risks. The author of Ecclesiastes in the next chapter describes someone whose focus is on all that could go wrong. Ecclesiastes 11 says, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." In other words, if the weather conditions aren't ideal, and if they look like they could possibly be less than perfect, and farmers, if you don't take some risks, if all you're focused on, well, this could go wrong, well then, those farmers are never going to get anything done. But Proverbs 22:13 goes to the extreme, paints the picture of a kind of overreaction to risk that become outright paranoia. The sluggard says, "There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square." I tried that line when I was a kid and didn't want to go to school. Mom didn't buy it. But you get the idea. Life is full of risks. Just getting out of bed in the morning exposes you to risks. But in order to live a normal life, we face those risks. But here's the thing. God wants a whole lot more for you than merely a normal life. He wants us to live the Spirit-filled life of the adventures of faith. That sounds great, doesn't it? You know, what Christian doesn't want to live a life of great faith? And the thought of adventures and faith sounds good, but the problem is, though it sounds great, it comes with even more risk than just living a normal life. Lots more risk. But faith means we'll take those risks. Not having as our highest goal playing it safe, but the goal of following God wherever he leads, right? Back to the story of Moses. You know, Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter, the Faith Hall of Fame, it's been called. This story of Moses' mother makes that chapter in Hebrews 11, 23. It says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict." So despite the fact that they were blatantly breaking the law, thereby incurring all the risks that go with that, they looked at this child and said, you know what, this is no ordinary child. God has plans for this kid. And they made some risky choices. And the Bible commends them for all ages as examples of great faith. That's what faith does. It isn't blind to the risks, but it sees that following God is bigger than the risk, and so decides to take those chances. We, of course, need to be sure that we're hearing from God, okay? Not every risk is an act of faith. Some risk is an act of stupidity, okay? But is it a risk that God is asking of us? Well, then it's one to take. I can't help but think about the story often referred to as the binding of Isaac. After giving up hope that of ever having a child of their own, Abraham and Sarah had a miracle, Isaac. We can only imagine that what that child represented to them. But at one point, God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, literally lay him on an altar, sacrifice him as an act of obedience to God. I mean, to even try to understand what Abraham went through that night as he contemplated that, we simply can't. But he was ready to obey. He gathered the wood, climbed the mountain, put Isaac on the altar, raised the knife. And at the last second, an angel stopped Abraham, and God said, wow, I know now, Abraham, that you really fear me because you were willing to risk your own son. Now, I'm really going to bless you, Abraham. Faith takes those risks and is blessed because of it. And that leads us to point number three, that there is reward for taking risks. There's reward for taking risks. In 1957, there was a couple of nerds from MIT who were toying with this new thing called digital technology. Again, 1957. A company decided to invest the huge sum back then of $70,000 in this new thing that they were doing. It was a risk, you know? A lot of new things don't work out. But their digital ideas started taking off, and through the 70s and 80s, it just boomed. And then, of course, personal computers in the 90s. It only went uphill from there. And the company they worked for eventually became known as Hewlett-Packard. And those who invested that $70,000 sold out for $450 million. There's some great stories there of success with investing. There's also some horrible stories of failure, like the guy who put together $15,000 of his own money. It was all he had, and invested in a startup business of somebody that he knew. It seemed like a sure thing. But suddenly the business owner had a series of personal problems. Had a terrible split with his wife, and his father, who was a big part of this business, had a very sudden health problems, and things just crashed. And the friend who put out that $15,000 had to ask for his money back, and, well, he got 60% of it. It could have been worse, but years later, it still grates on him, that loss. You know, one of the basic principles of investing is that you can choose how much risk you want in your investments, but it also means you're likely choosing your amount of increase on the investments. In other words, if you choose an investment that's very safe, well, that's great. You can have that sense of low risk, but it also means that your rate of return is going to be pretty low. Low risk means low yields, and that's an okay choice for some. But those who are willing to take bigger risks in investing will have opportunity for bigger gains. Sure, you might lose every penny, but you also might strike it rich. I like the attitude of this little guy. Yeah, I like that. You know, he knows that there's risk there, but he sees that there's potential for reward, and he prepares to go for it. One person, Leo Biscaglia, said this: the person who risks nothing, has nothing, does nothing, is nothing, becomes nothing. He may avoid suffering and sorrow, but he simply cannot learn and feel and change and grow and love and live. Strong statement about not taking risks. But when it comes to taking risks for God, what are you risking? I mean, you could lose a lot in this life. The apostles were killed for their faith. The book of Hebrews tells about those who banked everything on the Lord, and they were mistreated, and by this world's standards had very unenviable lives. But here's the whole point. They weren't focused on this life. They were focused on the next life, and the Bible says that their reward is great. It's a sure thing when you risk it all for the next life and for what God promises. Hebrews 11 puts it in terms of people leaving what they've known, risking the familiar, and going for the unknown because God asked them to. And by faith in God, again, their reward is great. So if you think about it, if what we're risking when we follow God is something that's only temporary anyway, and the reward that God promises is a sure thing, as sure as the very character of God himself, then is it really such a risk that we take to obey God? The reward for taking risks in obedience to God makes many promises to those who are willing to lay down their lives and risk finances, security, and comfort. And he promises to make it all more than worthwhile down the road. But even the reward of knowing, just knowing that we've pleased our Heavenly Father, that we have honored our Master, we've obeyed our Lord and our King. If we really have Him on the throne of our lives, then pleasing Him in itself is great reward, is it not? So, what are you going to do? You know, maybe there is something God is trying to tell you, but you won't hear it because if you accept what He's telling you, what He's asking of you, it puts something very important to you at risk. Could it be that you're closing your ears to God's voice because you think, no, there's no way God could be saying this because it would mean this could happen, or I could lose that, or I'd have to do this. And though on the outside, you can still look like the committed Christian, on the inside, many are not right with God because they're not willing to risk to follow Him. No one else may be aware, but you and God are. Today, whatever it is, take the chance, risk it all, follow Him. You know, the CMA, our denomination, has identified 7 core values that just identify who we are, what's important to us as a people. And one of them is this. It's faith-filled risks. That achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risks. And this always involves change. In a moment, we're going to celebrate the time that Jesus laid it all on the line for you. He chose to obey His Father knowing He'd lose His very life, and He did it for you. I don't know what God is asking of you to lay on the line for Him. That's between you and the Lord. But whatever it is, take the chance and risk it all for Him. Honor Him by this act of faith. And I promise you, you will not regret it. Would you bow your heads with me? And let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for what You laid on the line, what You risked, in a sense, for us. You sent Your Son Jesus to pour out His very life for us so that some of us who would receive that gift that You held out to us, that some of us could be saved. Lord, forgive us for letting our sense of self-preservation be stronger than our sense of obedience to Your calling. Lord, forgive us for what we've missed out on because we played it safe. Lord, help us to be people of faith who hear Your voice, who obey, and who lift our eyes to that city that You've prepared for us in glory that is ours because we've laid it on the line for You. Lord, be glorified in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.